list. Well, I still want to go to that Jones Mills.
Worst comes to worst, Chuck. Joe's here. Yeah. He'll finish out.
All right. No. Well, someone will speak.
Howdy. Howdy's gonna speak in my spot.
Hi everyone, I'm an addict named Charlie.
Charlie.
Welcome to the workshop Principles Before Personalities. Will you please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Could someone please read We Do Recover from wherever they're at?
I'm Holly, I'm an addict.
Hi, Holly.
We do recover when at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as human beings, either with or without drugs. We will all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be an alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in a man's history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to all of us. This is a simple, spiritual, non-religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks for reading.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Bill A., from the spiritual, not religious group of NA in Lehamna.
Thank you, sir. Sorry.
Hey, everybody, I'm Bill, I'm an addict.
Hey, Bill.
Trying to get myself out of the way here a little bit because I'm in pain and I really don't want to share, but I'm going to share because I know that's the way out. I was driving up here, and I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about up there? And it's like, well, I mean, principles for personality. My whole life leading up to the point of finding NA was based in defect. You know what I mean? Based in a lie, for the most part. And I'm thinking, I could imagine, you know, when I was like 12 or 13 years old, telling some of the people that I grew up with it, like, you know, just have acceptance, just surrender, right? I'd have got beat up, right? That's what would have happened because everybody that I grew up with was older than me by like 4 or 5 years. And they weren't exactly living what I would call a spiritual life at that point in time. You know, I had been taught if you were hurt, then you hurt them, right? Don't ever let anybody get over on you and all these different things that when I got into recovery, they're like, yeah, that's not okay. You know, you guys told me, like, that's not okay. So I had a pretty rough run of it up until I was about 23, and I got locked up and put in prison for a couple of years for using drugs. And when I went to prison, you know, they made me go into all these programs and stuff like that, and they're like, you know, this is, they're supposed to be more about rehabilitating you these days, right? And I wasn't worried about none of that. Like, I got an introduction to the fellowship up there, and I didn't pay attention to any of it. You know, I just did it to get my green sheet. And when I came home from prison, within about a year, I was right back where I started, man. Right back with a boatload of new charges, using, you know, just being the same individual that I've always been. When I walked into the doors of NA and I started to work steps, and you guys told me that, like, some of the things I did, right, some of the things that I said weren't okay, I didn't like that, right? You know, I didn't want to change who I was. And I can remember getting a sponsor, and I can remember, you know, like, that was probably the first guy that I ever told how I felt to throughout my life. I didn't have a dad growing up. I didn't, you know, my mom, she was kind of mom and dad, kind of just like beat our ass when we were bad. And like, you know, there was really no one really instilled any principle in me, right? It was all anger and resentment. And I was always told that my dad was an asshole and that, you know, I'm going to be just like him and all these other things. And I kind of adopted that shit, man. Like, that became part of who I was. You know, I wore it like a badge of honor, just like I did my prison sentence. You know, fucking, how many times you been, you know, I've been in the county 15 times, like, that's cool or something. And it's funny and shit back then, but, like, now it's not funny, right? Because that same shit that was ingrained in me from a little kid is now causing me fucking problems. I don't know how to be in a healthy friendship, in a healthy relationship, right? If you hurt my feelings, I'm not going to call you for a fucking month, probably. And that's not healthy, you know what I mean? I'm still trying to figure out today how to incorporate being a good friend into my life, right? How to incorporate loving somebody when they hurt my feelings. And so I'm going to jump in, and if I get into some defect or if I scatter around, just bear with me. Meth did a lot of fucking damage up here over the last couple of years. So I got into a relationship when I first got clean in 2013 with a girl from drug court, right? Yeah, beautiful. She's a beautiful woman, right? Very beautiful. And she was in a relationship when I started dating her. And so, looking back now, I can see that was one of my patterns, right? Like, it was a challenge. Like, let me jump into this. Let me see if I can pull her from that, and then I win, right? Feed my ego through some weird-ass defective manner. And that's who I was. So I get in this relationship with her, right? And then she jumps. You know, I'm on my knee in 6 months. I love you, right? Fucking wonderful idea. The same night I do this, she goes back and sleeps with her ex-boyfriend and then tells me about it, right? Crushes me. I'm in the rooms crying about it like we do, you know, boo-hoo, I can't believe this happened, motherfucker. She was in the relationship. It was his girlfriend first, right? What the fuck are you crying about? So I step away from it, and I think I got my self-confidence back, and I'm learning some things about myself, and then I dive back into it, right? She calls me. Oh, you know what I mean? I get that little butterfly, ooh, right? Forget about all the shit that just happened. Just like the drug, right? This is what's here and what's now. It's going to make me feel better. So I get back into the relationship, right? And we fast forward through a whole bunch of bullshit, right? Just causing harm back and forth, destroying each other. I mean, fucking destroying each other. I found out through that process, and it says it in the book, right? You want to figure out, or we say it, I don't know where the fuck it says. It says it somewhere. You want to figure out what your defects are, get in a relationship, you'll figure them out real quick. And like, I couldn't get past that, you know, causing harm. You cause me harm, I cause you harm. And we tore each other's ass out the frame, man. And I couldn't let go, right? I couldn't. I would sacrifice my principles to be in this relationship. I would sacrifice the closest relationship I had in my life to be in this relationship, because this woman would cause harm to everyone around me, right? Including me. Like, Facebook posts, fucking just running it in on Facebook, right? Getting me suspended at work, all kinds of crazy shit. And I'm blaming her. It's her fault. No, Bill, it's your fault, because once you know she can't handle her feelings, that's no longer her fault, right? Learn that in here too. If I know somebody's unhealthy and I'm signing up for that shit, that's no longer their fault. That's who they are. They don't want to change. That's my fault. I get into that shit, but I want to blame them, right? I found out I learned principle the hard way, right? I don't learn it the easy way. I have to experience enough pain. When the pain remaining the same comes greater than the fear of change, we surely let go, right? Well, the defect that I never wanted to let go of was that one of sleeping around or fucking, you know, jumping from relationship to relationship and like just getting that jolt of dopamine that comes along with the chase and everything else, right? I never wanted to give that up. It was so deeply ingrained in me, and I couldn't recognize that that was the defect that had me to my knees every time, right? Didn't seem like that in the beginning, but every time that's where it put me, was on my fucking knees. So all these things happen, right? In the meantime, I'm being told by everybody, man, you got to let go. You got to surrender, right? You got to accept that that's who that is, and this is who you are, and like, things are different, and like, you got to let go. And I just couldn't let go, no matter what I did. If Fast forward a couple of years, I go off in another relationship. She goes off, she gets pregnant, right? And we had been sleeping together, so I wasn't even sure if it was mine, if it was somebody else's. Turns out it wasn't mine, right? Turns out it was somebody else's. But I stayed there through it, man. And when the kid was born, like, I was the first person that that little girl looked at, and her dad didn't want nothing to do with her. The guy that made her fucking ran off, right? Didn't want nothing to do with her. And part of this is defective, right? And part of this is principle. And you can either, if you know a little bit about my story, buy it or not. I don't give a fuck, right? Part of it was, this little fucking girl was not going to have a dad just like I did, right? And another part of it was, I'm going to look like a fucking hero, right? Because we tell the truth around here. I'm going to look like a hero if I step in, you know what I mean? And I had no idea what I was signing up for. No idea. So I signed a birth certificate. I signed an acknowledgement of paternity. She became my daughter. Right? And, man, I'll tell you what. It was the best decision of my life, and it was the worst decision of my life. Because ever since I have signed that, and ever since she became my daughter, I have been terrorized, right? And I mean fucking terrorized, to the point where, right, all that stuff I learned about, you know, we don't call the cops, we don't tell on people, all that kind of craziness that I was stepping away from, it helped me step further into, like, you know, my door getting kicked down and calling the police, right? But then here's the thing, like, I was always taught, don't cause harm, right? If you can, if it's possible, don't cause somebody harm in the process of practicing principle. Because we walked that fine line. Well, you kick my fucking door down, I want my door paid for, right? Like, I bought this house, my house. Anyways, long story short, fucking, I don't charge her. She gets loose from it, and this pattern starts, right? Of her doing crazy shit, and me not doing nothing about it, and then complaining about the results of what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cause harm, right? Is that fucking principle, or is it defect? I don't know. I don't fucking know, because I'm still up in it today. Still up in it, man. And I love my daughter, and it doesn't matter. Like, and here's the hit, right? So, in my mind, I'm like, well, if you can't beat them, join them, right? So let me take her back, right? Let me move her in. Let me try to work this out. Let me see if I can do this. Fucking full resentment. Right? Rather than practicing a first and second step before I did it, I just did it and then called my sponsor afterwards. Mm-hmm. Hey, right? She's moving back in. What? That's a fucking great idea. You might have wanted to call me before you made the nope, because I already made the decision, right? I don't want to tell him about it to ruin my good time. He's going to fuck my chaos up. So that did not go well, and it ended, right? It ended with me using. That was the second time. I completely skipped over why I relapsed after almost 7 years, right? Because I had 6 years, 9 months, and some days, man, and made some decisions prior to this real fucking bad decision. I got married again. Well, I actually got married this time in 6 months, and it fucking destroyed me. And then I used over that, right? So I'm backtracking a little bit here. And then fast forward to this time, and like, it fell apart again. And both times I never told him, right? I never said a word. I just went and did what I did, and I got what I got, and then I came in here with my tail between my legs crying, please help me, right? Please help me. I didn't think those little decisions were gonna lead up to what it did, you know? I backed myself into a corner that I didn't come out of clean, man. I grew resentments, just like the book. Oh, it's fucking gross how, just like Recovering Relapse talks about, man, backing ourselves into a corner with, you know, separate, catching resentments for people in the fellowship, right? Catching resentments towards my sponsor. And, you know, I wound up with a fucking needle in my neck, a heart attack, 2 seizures, fucking terrible. So anyways, I broke free from that from that. I finally was like, all right, man, like, I have to make a choice, because I'm looking at this little girl, and honestly, like, I'm the only person, and this is bad. Like, if I'm the motherfucking stable person, there's something wrong with the situation. For real. I can put it on for 8 hours a day, right, in my little counselor uniform and walk in and tell people how to stay clean. Like, I can put that mask on and I can play that fucking person. I can do that. But then when I walk out the door sometimes, like, depending on my spiritual conditioning, is going to depend on what spiritual principles I'm going to put in play when I'm in pain. That's just the way it is, right? I watched, you know, a good buddy of mine that fucking, I thought, walked on water, right? Putting people on a pedestal. He's running around sticking his dick and all kinds of shit. You know, calling me, right? Asking me. What do you think about this? Dude, that's a fucking terrible decision. Fucking terrible decision. He does it anyways, right? Like we do. Get your experience. So. How's that feel? So I call my sponsor, right? And I tell him, I said, hey, I'm, you know, year goes by. You know, I've been free from this terrible toxic situation for, it was a year this month that I haven't stepped back into that situation, right? Despite, like, I'm talking about, listen, man, I took my daughter to Disney this year, right? And, like, I was able to do that, man. And it was a blessing and she fucking loved it. Here's the hit, right? Her fucking mom got the same plane, the same hotel, with the fucking adjoining door. Right? See, the whole, I have a girlfriend the whole time this is happening, and she's saying, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. I'm like, oh, fuck. What do you do? What do I do? I'm in a situation. They already have charges against each other or whatever, and it's fucking crazy. And I'm like, dude, I do not want to end up in jail in Florida. I just don't. Right? So, God stepped in and said, well, we're going to end this relationship right before you go to Florida. Right? I'm sitting in my bed. My new girlfriend is in the shower. She gets out of the shower and fuck comes in and things are about to happen. And it's going to be a good night. It's a Friday. I don't have my daughter. Like, it's going to be good, right? I pick her vape up off the fucking bed and go to hit the motherfucker. And she's like, don't. I'm like, why? She's like, don't hit that. Why not? I said, what is it, CBD? If it's fucking CBD, I don't care. What is it? Let me see, right? She's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, whoa. What do you mean? It's not. What do you mean? I had to go get my medical marijuana card. If you could have fucking been inside my head at that point, if you could get arrested for, I want to throw the bitch out the fucking window. Sorry for saying bitch. Don't mean everybody. But I want to throw her out the fucking window, man. I kept somebody in my life that had a direct connection to drugs the last time because I wanted to get laid, and that's what my connection was, right to the fucking plug. And I got high. So, and she knew that. And so, like, all the justification and rationalization and all the fucking, you know, whatever the fuck they're called, fucking, what are they called, Drew? Fucking clinical terms? I forget. Anyways, all that shit comes in, and I'm sitting there listening, and my fucking eyes are this big, and I'm like, I thought I was getting laid. Now I'm fucking ready to throw you out the window. Right? So, like, I'm like, motherfucker. So I let her spend the night, and like a sick individual I am, right? Instead of just... But I didn't touch her that night. I was still pissed, right? Fucking heated. Trying to figure out in my head, like, is this my... Did I do something here? Like, what the fuck? Like, why wouldn't you... That is something that affects the validity of our relationship. Why would you not fucking tell me that that was your plan? And I understand why, because, like, her situation is difficult, man. I don't know if I could walk in her shoes. I don't know that, right? So I had to sit there. I gave it a week. I did try to sleep with her in the morning. Don't let me lie. But I couldn't. I just couldn't. The connection was gone, man. Like, it was gone. And I didn't feel right doing it, man. You know what I mean? When you live on principle, try to live on principle to the best of your ability, and you're about to do fuck shit, like, you know. Right? It talks about it in the book. It says, when we put our principles aside to please other people, we know. Right? In the Living Clean book, it says that. And, like, I knew, right? I didn't like how I felt to get that quick shot of instant gratification. And so I took her home, and I told her that was it, and I waited a week, right? after about a week, I was like, man, I'm lonely. You know what I mean? Like, let me see if I can kindle this back up, right? Talk to my sponsor, right? He's like, dude, she's fucking using. What are you thinking? Right? And I'm like, yeah, but it's only weed, man. Hold on. Hold on. Right? It's just Delta 8. If you're using Delta 8, you're getting fucking high.
I'm above it.
Sicilians all know that.
I'm above it.
Give a fuck what anybody says. And if you're co-signing somebody using that shit, you're fucking killing people. Yeah. Fuck out of here. I hurt your feelings, sorry. I'm not sorry, because I'm fucking mad. I'm fucking mad. So, that takes place, right? 7 days go by. Get lonely, I start talking to her again. I'm like, all right, so maybe we can, think of with my dick, right? Of course. Maybe we can work this out, right? Maybe I understand it, maybe we can work this out. She comes over, we have sex. Goes home the next day. I'm back on cloud nine. I'm like, yes. Like, I feel connected again. Life is so great, right? Something happens. We have a conversation. She starts talking about, you know, and I don't want to get too personal or too, but she says there's a problem. She's got this problem going on. And I'm like, well, hey, I didn't sleep with anybody unless you did, right? And the fucking dead silence, radio silence. I'm like, my phone rings. I'm like, this ain't good. She didn't answer that last question. This is not good, right? So I answer the phone, I'm, hello. And she tells me, within that 7 days, she put someone's dick in her mouth, right? That's great, that's good news. We weren't together, cool. You didn't do anything wrong, right? Had to accept that. You didn't do nothing wrong. But that's not something that I want to invite into my life today, right? It's just not. If that's your coping skill, like, I can't do that. And I know what would happen. I'd be full of resentment, right? And then I would just be just punishing her the whole time. So I had to take a step back, right? And I called my sponsor and I said, hey, this is what happened, dude. And he said to me, he said, if you wouldn't have pushed your boundaries, you wouldn't even have found out about that. So what's that tell you? You know, and that fucking hurt. I didn't like that because it was true, right? I would have never known that had I have just kept standing on what I was supposed to be standing on and kept moving forward. Like, I would have never found out about that. It would have never had the opportunity to hurt me. And then, like, of course, I want to hurt her feelings, right? I want to say, I didn't. I accepted it, and then I moved on, man, and I let go. But it's, you know, it I'm trying to get better today. I'm trying to incorporate as many principles into my life. And I read something last night that said, it said in the Living Clean book, it said, integrity is integrating my beliefs, my values, my thoughts, and my actions, being fully integrated, right? And that's what I, you know, each time I go through something, I learn something new. I always go back to surrender, man. That's the principle, acceptance and surrender. That first step never lets me down, right? When I walk myself into some bullshit, which I'm real good at, I might try it, right? I might try to maneuver it once or twice and manipulate the situation a little bit. But once the pain starts to come again, like, I let go, man. I try not to hurt people today. That's the number one thing, because when I go home at night, I want to be able to sleep. I don't want that circus going on in my head anymore, right? I can't. If I'm locked up over here, my daughter suffers. She's the one that pays the price, because then I'm short with her. I'm angry with her, right? I'm not as accepting with her. And that's not who I want to be, man. That's how my mom was. And that's, I don't want my kid raised with fucking anxiety and fear and fucking depression and all these other shit that, you know, was handed down to me so gracefully. I don't want that shit for her. Right? So I try to remain calm. I try to allow her to be who she is rather than who I want her to be. I don't know, man. I know I was all over the place and I'm grateful to be here. And if I hurt anybody's feelings, call your fucking sponsor, all right? Because I'm telling you, if you're smoking that shit, you're fucking using. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Our next speaker is Tim P. from the Murraysville Group of NA in Northeast Area. Woo! Right. You mind?
Thank you.
Coach. Addict named Tim.
Hey, Tim. Tim.
Thanks for your message, Bill. You know, when I got this topic, I shared it with some of my guys, and everybody kind of laughed, of course, because they thought it was a pretty appropriate topic for me. I'm not sure how to take that, you know? I'm going to tell you a couple things that, to be honest, I'm very judgmental, you know? Actually, I'm sitting here before I got up here, and I'm checking out the crowd, you know? Trying to assess the situation, you know? To see what kind of delivery I'm going to have, you know? But honestly, you know, God kicks in at some point, and then it's all bets are off, you know? I got to say that I brought up this topic, and I need to talk about this. I brought up this topic. I usually, you know, when I get a topic to share on, I'll try to, like, bring it to a meeting and hear about people's feedback, you know, to kind of get my mind in a place of... to be able to share about this, you know? So I bring this topic up at a couple meetings, two meetings that I went to last week. You know how many people shared on this topic?
One.
Wow. One person out of two meetings shared on Tradition 12. And maybe I should have reframed the principles before, you know, maybe I framed it the wrong way. But it makes me feel that, like, we have a lack of knowledge or a lack of working knowledge with the traditions, you know? And maybe this is why we have such disunity sometimes, some of these issues that happen. I don't know. It's something that I'm really taking a look at. NA has changed a lot since I got here. And not that change is bad. Sometimes change is necessary. Let's face it, the world isn't the same. People aren't using the same stuff as they were when I got clean. You know, when I got clean, my clean date's 11/28 of 88. When I got clean, well, you know what? I didn't even have the desire to go get clean. I had the desire to stop. I wanted to be able to use successfully like some people did, you know? And so I sought some help and I went to an institution. And they told me about this concept of complete abstinence there, which was like foreign to me, you know? The hope came when people from Narcotics Anonymous came in and shared a little bit of their experience, strength, and hope with me, with H&I. Because I thought if maybe these punk-ass people could do it too, maybe so could I, you know? And so I took a suggestion. I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting when I got out of that place. And you know what? I was greeted with a very positive kind of response. Back then, there were greeters at the meetings. You know, do you guys have greeters at your home group?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, some do. I've seen that go to the wayside, you know? And when I, like, look at checking my agenda at the door, you know, I just come in here as another addict trying to get a day clean. You know, I work in the profession, but I'm not there to counsel people. I'm not there to, you know, I'm there just to try to, you know, share my experience, strength, and hope with other people and have this level playing ground. You know, if we were all practicing the steps perfectly, you know, which probably isn't humanly possible. No, I see people nodding their heads, so I'm glad you're with me. It's not really, you know, if we were practicing the steps as perfectly as we could, we wouldn't even have to have this topic. You know? Because if I was being as spiritual as I can, I wouldn't be placing personalities in my issues. You know, there are some people that share, I'm being honest here, there are some people that share at meetings that I hear them say, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm an addict, and I just shut them out. You know? I know you guys don't do that either. You know? I know that's not a common occurrence, is it? You know? But I wish I didn't. You know, I really wish I didn't do that. But it just, you know, that's my humanness coming out. I try to do the best that I can on a regular basis to let people be where they're at too, you know. And I understand that some people have other, but I've discovered recently, you know, I do that daily inventory. And it dawned on me, it's funny how things just kind of happen, that I have expectations, you know? And just because I perform at this level doesn't mean everybody else is going to perform at this level. And, you know, if everybody was like Timmy P, this world would be a hell of a lot better place, let me tell you. You know? It really would. That's not the case, you know? And so I choose to practice a little acceptance in that fashion. And that helps me a great deal to be a little bit more spiritual in nature when it comes to this. You know, the thing that's important for me too, and I heard Bill talk about, you touched on the integrity. You know, I'm the kind of guy that I stand for what I believe in. And it's hard for me to change those things I believe in sometimes. But I have to remember and be mindful that, like, my belief system is not always correct. You know, I need to be open to some other feedback, and I think that's important for me to be open to your feedback as well. You know, it says in our literature about how we're supposed to be each other's ears and eyes sometimes, you know, and that's really essential. When I'm practicing spiritual principles too, here's the ticket. I always say, and you guys that know me have heard this, you know, how are we supposed to hang out with the winners if we're not judgmental? Right? You know? And maybe there's a difference in semantics. I don't know. Someone had pointed out one time that maybe it's about taking people's inventory rather than being judgmental. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But there are some people that I just find are not good for my spirit, that rob me of anything positive that I've been working towards. Mm-hmm. And so I keep those people at bay. Now, if those folks would call me and say, you know, I don't think they'd ever call me and say, hey, I need some help. But if they would, you know, I would be able to, you know, lend her whatever assistance I could, you know. And that's like what I've been taught with Narcotics Anonymous. We put our issues aside. We come together collectively to help the individual, you know. I think, too, as far as a group conscience goes in Tradition 12, the group conscience is so powerful, so powerful. It puts my agenda aside. I'm not that important, you know. We all collectively come together to make a uniform decision to help the group, you know. There's no one group more powerful than the other. We need to work in unity and collaboration, you know, and Tradition 12 talks about that, you know. I might be missing the boat with this topic, but I think it goes together with Tradition 12. And when I was even reading Tradition 12, it doesn't really talk specifically about principles before personalities, but it talks about it in a very global, general way, you know? And it talks about, like, how we as individuals come together as a group and share the life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous with other people, you know? I see everybody here. Hey. So it makes me feel good seeing people that I, you know, so thanks for being here and supporting me. But, yeah, you know, I was sitting here thinking, and I had a problem a couple years ago, and I got really, really, really tired than I've ever been. And, I had some blood work done, and they sent me to the hospital. And in the hospital, they were waiting for me, and I got scared. And long story short, I had lost 70% of my blood. They said, people like you don't walk into the ER. You know, if I wasn't in good shape, I probably wouldn't be here today. So I was in the hospital for 10 days or whatever, and they did every test on me. They still don't know what happened. You know, maybe I was sleeping with a vampire. They did every test imaginable. No one still knows what's going on, but I'm being monitored, and I've been okay for 2 years pretty much. What happened, and why I'm sharing this, is while I was there, I had to get units of blood. So you people in the medical field know what I'm talking about. You know, they gave me some blood to make me better. You know, did I ask whose blood this come from? No. No, I didn't care. Give me blood because I started feeling better, you know? Give me some more, you know? And this is an example in one of my, you know, this was somebody that came to visit me, was in the medical field in recovery, and they shared with me that, you know, this is why you can't pick and choose. You know, this is why I need to be like non-judgmental maybe. I wasn't, this is life-saving stuff here, you know? Same thing as Narcotics Anonymous. The message is life-saving here. You know, so when I'm shouting out that crazy MF-er that I can't stand to listen to at my home group, we have one of those. Not you, but there's one. There's one. You know, maybe I need to open up and listen to his message a little bit, you know, because it could be the thing that I need to save my life that day, you know? And so it goes back to what I was taught early on about I can't pick and choose my own recovery, you know? Right? And to me, I think that's important to be mindful of. You know, if I'm going to, you know, be a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I need to be a little bit more open. Sharing this stuff doesn't mean that I'm going to be miraculously non-judgmental. I'm going to still judge you people, you know. We were talking earlier, there's two things I learned from meetings, you know, which is important. It's how to be and how not to be. And I think that's essential for me. You know, I want to try to be the best example of a recovering addict that I possibly can today. And how am I living? What spiritual principles am I exemplifying? Not just in the Narcotics Anonymous. That's sometimes easier to do. Mm-hmm. You know, come to my office, sit with me for a day. You'll see how unspiritual I can get. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, I deal with politics and I deal with a lot of, you know, personalities and yeah. It's difficult, but sometimes it's necessary to step. For me, I feel I'm justifying. You know, sometimes it's necessary for me to step aside from the spiritual Tim and be the hard ass Tim and like call the shots that need to be called. You know, it doesn't always put me in good favor, and sometimes I feel like I make some enemies doing that. But like I'm not here to make friends. You know, same thing at my job. I'm talking more about it, what I do professionally than here in the rooms, you know? Principles before personalities are essential, though, to keep NA kind of a safe place. I've always felt pretty welcome when I go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and to me, that's important. I recently have been made aware of some things that happened at some meetings that just like broke my heart, you know? Some self-righteous people speaking out, like cross-talking almost, and calling new people out on what they did or what they didn't do, you know? And we were talking earlier in the lodge too about, you know, we have a lot of treatment programs coming with their druggy buggies, bringing everybody to our meetings. These people don't always necessarily know how to act here. You know, what are we doing to help them to understand the decorum that we try to keep here? You know, I think that's partly up to the chairperson in the group, you know, which I think falls short sometimes. But it's also up to us to try to mentor them in some fashion with love and care and compassion, you know, so we keep NA. And I'm giving that because there's a workshop at noon. On that, the H&I and PR workshop up there is going to touch on some of that stuff. But yeah, you know, if I hadn't been met in my first NA meeting was Wake Up in Wilkinsburg Saturday morning. And if it wasn't had been a positive experience, I don't know if I'd come back again. Face it, you know? I was greeted. There were people there that, you know, were very helpful to me. They guided me to get some numbers and things like that that were essential early on. You know, I always say I found my first sponsor too early on because I had a lot of legal problems. My attorney was expensive, so I found this guy who was an attorney, and I asked him to be my sponsor. That didn't work real well. You know, we met for coffee, and he's telling me about, like, steps and traditions, and I'm talking about my case, and it's just, we just didn't, yeah, you know. It didn't work out, so, you know. If that guy's around, I give him credit for like putting up with me for a couple months. But it was time for me to move on and find someone who was going to help guide me in the process. And I think too, as we help mentor and sponsor people in this whole process too, it's up to us. is valid NA members to be passing those principles on as well. In our example, not just by the literature, how are we living? You know, how are we living? You know, that's what's important. You know, being prey on the newcomer is not the way to, you know, be a good example. You know, that's, you know, everybody has the right to recover. Let's give them that opportunity, damn it. You know? Yeah, that's something that I can't tolerate. And sometimes, too, it's important for me to step to those people in a nice way, pull them aside, and explain to them that this is unacceptable. Yeah, this is bullshit. We don't do that here. You know? I don't want to, like, I don't want to be the NA police guy, you know? But sometimes I feel like I have to be, you know, because it's so important for me to keep NA. Bottom line, you know, I feel strong about this because this has saved my, this is, Narcotics Anonymous has given me the choice to have a life beyond my wildest dreams today. Really has, you know, and it's up to me to do what I got to do to keep that. And it's, you know, I'm still active in service. I'm still active in my, you know, community and in my family and all that. Narcotics Anonymous has given me that opportunity. Spiritual principles are never in conflict with each other, too, it says, right? You know? And I think that when I think of that, it reminds me of, like, group conscience. You know, how we've been able to whittle things out. Now, honestly, you know, I have one of my home group members here. I sometimes just leave when there's a group conscience. You know, I let them decide because, number one, I'm too tired and I just want to listen to the, you know. A lot of times it's very unnecessary stuff. Like, who cares where the picnic's going to be here? You know, you guys decide, you know. But still, sometimes if I'm going to be an active member, I should stay and be part of the group conscience. Sometimes I've seen it in groups as well, is that people will look to me to see how I'm siding, and they'll all side with me, you know? I don't want to be that powerful, you know? Well, maybe I do, but that's not right. That's not right, you know? Like, y'all make your own decision. You know, don't go with what Timmy P says. Now, I'll give my input if necessary, and sometimes it's more, sometimes it's better for me just to step aside in some instances and let them learn from their own mistakes as well, you know? Just like individuals, you know? I sponsor a lot of guys. I can tell them what to do and give them some advice and guidance and perspective, you know, but ultimately it's up to what they're going to do, you know. Learning, I've had the opportunity to learn from my own mistakes as well, you know, and that's what's made me the guy that I am today, you know. Collectively, though, I think it's important that we find some unity in the group and in these traditions. If you're not familiar with the traditions, get with your sponsor, get with somebody who's experienced it, and get some knowledge about the traditions, because it's important, you know. The traditions not only help me with the Narcotics Anonymous group, it helps me out there in society as well, you know. I've learned to be a little bit better and a little bit more diplomatic in a lot of ways by practicing the stuff here in NA that you gave me the opportunity to practice in service and take it out there in the real world. So don't sell yourself short, please. Don't say, you know, these are there for a reason, you know. And the 12th tradition is it talks about it in our literature, is a compilation of all the traditions kind of in one, you know. And so be as spiritual as you can today. I'm going to watch you, and I'll let you know if you're being unspiritual.
Thanks, Tim.
You know, and you know, I'll give you a sticker or something, you know, like, and I feel like I'm, like, running out of steam, but it's always an honor to share here, and I love this retreat. It's nice to see people that I normally don't connect with. It's nice to meet new people that I never would have known unless I came here. And it's too cold at night, though. Like, what the, you know? We need to have the fire going or something. But, yeah, it's always an honor and a privilege to share, you know, with anything at in an NA event. So thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Good job. Good job.
Good timing. Hold it up. Let me turn this guy off.